My name is Justin Daniel, and I'm here on behalf of Quinn Vinh Phan Lee. This matter, of course, comes on our appeal from the trial of this case involving three counts of child pornography.
Would you like to save any time for rebuttal, sir?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Perhaps 3 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Judge. Mr. Lee was convicted of possession of three pictures that form the basis of the entire case. And the code section, of course, that we're dealing with is 18.2-374.1, which defines what sexually explicit visual material is. And I think that's really the crux of the argument in this case, is whether or not these pictures that were submitted into evidence constitute sexually explicit visual material. And 18.2-374.1 defines it as a picture, photograph, drawing, sculpture, film, etc., containing either bestiality, sadomasochistic abuse, or a lewd exhibition of nudity, sexual excitement, or sexual conduct. I don't think there's any dispute that these pictures don't contain bestiality or sadomasochistic abuse.
Counsel, will you concede that at a minimum these pictures are sexually provocative?
No, I do not.
And not why is that? Based upon what we all know from this record as to how the young lady was presenting herself in these pictures?
Well, I don't believe that she was presenting herself in these pictures. I think if you look at the pictures, what is happening in the pictures is that she's simply lying motionless on a bed. She's not spreading her legs apart any farther than they would be in a natural lying down position. She's not manipulating her genitalia or any other part of her body so as to emphasize it for the camera. She wasn't instructed to do so. She's not touching any part of her body. There are no implements in the pictures that would suggest anything of a sexual nature going on. And in fact, there was a great deal of testimony during the case that the reason she was lying on the bed was because she was exhausted from this grueling preparation for her karate tournament, her taekwondo tournament, which was to basically sweat the water weight out of her. And she had stripped down into the nude in order to weigh herself and have the most accurate weight measurement possible. And so there was a great deal of testimony that the reason why she was nude in the first place was not for a sexual purpose. I don't agree at all that the pictures were composed in a way by the appellant in this case, that he gave any instruction as to how she should pose or why she should pose or had any discussion with her whatsoever about what they were doing. At one point, in fact, her testimony is inconsistent because at one point she says he said nothing. At another point, as the Commonwealth points out, she says that he was threatening her about showing the pictures to somebody. And I think that what happened in this case is that he simply snapped three photographs while she was lying on the bed, which she herself chose to do.
Didn't Mr. Lee instruct her to remove her clothes? And then wasn't there evidence to suggest that Mr. Lee groped her? And then there was evidence suggesting that Mr. Lee made those threats that you just alluded to misuse the photographs?
There was evidence, and there was also evidence to the contrary. I think her testimony was inconsistent upon cross-examination.
Doesn't this boil down to a sufficiency issue, whether or not there was any evidence to support the finding of the court?
Well, yes, and I think that's really what the Commonwealth has argued, is that that conduct, which went into the method of production of these pictures, is what transforms the pictures into something that's sexually explicit or a lewd exhibition of nudity. And I simply disagree with that, because if you were to extend that logic out, these pictures in the hands of the photographer would be child porn, child pornography. But then if you put these same pictures in somebody else's hands, someone who was not there during the photography session itself, and someone who has absolutely no sexual interest in the subject of the photographs, then arguably they may not be sexually provocative anymore. In fact, looking at the pictures, I would respectfully
suggest that brings to mind the difference between a distribution of child pornography case and a solicitation of pornography, which is what we have here. That's the difference. If you were to give those and they were not sexually explicit, that may or may not meet the definition of a distribution case. But here we're not talking about a distribution case. We're talking about something different.
We're also not talking about a solicitation case. We're talking about a possession case. The only thing that has to be proven is that he had knowledge of the nature of the pictures and that he had them in his dominion and control on the dates alleged in the indictment. It's not a production case. which is what every case cited in the Commonwealth's brief was. It was a production case where the lascivious motivation of the photographer is at issue. And I think that's the fundamental difference between this case and the Freeman case, which really I think forms, is really at the center of this appellate argument, because that's what the Commonwealth has argued. In the Freeman case, we have a lot more evidence of what was going on in the making of the pictures than what we have in this case. And I think in this case, for example, there was a great deal of argument at trial about the Freeman case and about whether any evidence of a relationship between the subject of these photographs and the photographer would be allowed into evidence. There was several pages of that argument between counsel and the court, and the court eventually allowed it in. And then when the victim testified as to what that relationship was, it was simply that she'd had, the question I believe was, did she have sexual relations with Mr. Lee? She said yes. The question was then when I was 17. And that's as specific as it was. These pictures were also taken when she was 17. There was no indication of whether the sexual relationship began before or after the pictures, for example. And I think had, for example, there been an allegation that some sex occurred or sexual intercourse occurred on the weekend of this Taekwondo tournament, then perhaps that evidence would have been even more relevant. But what we're really talking about is that in the Freeman case, we have discussions between the photographer and the police officer about his prior sexual acts with the child, and it's a much younger child, a 5-year-old child, and discussions about why he was taking the pictures to show the mother that the child had a promiscuous attitude, and discussions by him with the child about how they wanted to specifically make the pictures sexually provocative, and 4 of the 5 pictures were in a sultry or seductive pose. They talked about trying to copy Playboy poses in the pictures. We don't have any of that here. The only thing we have is, at first, the victim says, I believe on direct examination, that she didn't think she was groped. Then she says she did think she was groped. And then on cross-examination says she thinks it was around her breast area.
Isn't a fact finder permitted to listen to the testimony of the people who are testifying, whether it's the victim or the defendant, credit or discredit portions of some testimony and portions of other testimony, and come to a reasoned conclusion based upon the evidence presented? And I point out the things that obviously are to the Commonwealth's benefit. Justice and Freeman talked about the ongoing relationship with the victim, indicating the lascivious intent, some suggestion in the record at least to suggest that the victim was pressured into posing for the pictures, that he said that if she objected to it, he would show other pictures he had to other people. You know, all of these things would not necessarily in and of himself be enough, but if we take all of these things in the aggregate, couldn't a reasonable jury come to the conclusion suggested by the Commonwealth?
I think my answer is no, and because I don't think the evidence is sufficient on that point, the way it is in Freeman. It's very, very clear in Freeman because there's a lot of evidence of the specifically sexual reasons behind taking the pictures and the sexual nature of the relationship between the two of them that had already occurred. It was a prior sexual relationship before those pictures were taken. In this case, we don't have that. What we have is a vague reference to a sexual relationship that could have occurred after the pictures were taken. And at that point, my belief is that evidence is far more prejudicial than it is probative because of the level of proof that we're talking about. When the judge made the ruling that evidence could come in, there had been no representation to the court as to what level of proof would actually come out. And there was an argument made by the defense counsel that it could be overly prejudicial. The judge simply denied that.
Did the victim testify that she and the defendant here had a sexual relationship after the pictures were taken? Was that part of the evidence?
She testified that she had a sexual relationship when she was 17, that began when she was 17.
Okay.
And
With the defendant?
With the defendant.
Okay.
And that's it. And there's no indication of whether that began before this weekend in Daytona, during the weekend in Daytona, or after the weekend in Daytona. And I guess my point is that whereas in Freeman you have a person who is very clearly interested in the subject of the photographs, has made lots of statements of that nature, the child was put in poses that suggest that nature, and you can look at the photograph itself and see the sexual nature of the photograph. I think that is where a jury could come to the conclusion that the person was specifically soliciting this minor for the purpose of producing child pornography.
But you're not suggesting that for the Commonwealth to carry its burden here, that there had to be evidence of either the defendant manipulating himself or asking the victim to manipulate herself or have some object involved in the process to carry their burden. Are you suggesting that?
I think that that would make it a lot easier, yes, because essentially what we have is a picture of a minor nude, and she's not touching herself in any particular way, and that would be the same as a picture of my son in the bath. Now, if I then said to somebody that I was attracted to a minor, would that transform the picture I have in my wallet into child pornography?
Doesn't that require, and I appreciate your argument and the analogy, but doesn't that sort of suspend human perspective? Obviously, if you're taking a picture of your son while he's taking a bath, that's one thing. But when you have an adult male taking a picture of a young lady who is matured, that's different.
Well, and that's, I guess, my point is that I don't know if we accept the Commonwealth's logic, I don't know how different that would be in the future, because all you need, according to the Commonwealth, is some sexual interest in the subject of the photograph, and then you would need nudity in the photograph. For example, someone could want to make child pornography and have a child sit in a seductive pose, totally clothed, but perhaps wrapped in a towel or something like that, so that no actual nudity is there, and now they've failed to make child pornography because there's no nudity. But they wanted to, and the child might be seductively posing, and in my estimation, that would be far worse than simply taking a picture of a girl lying naked on a bed.
Are you suggesting in a case such as this, where we're dealing with possession of child pornography, that we look only to the photograph and not to the surrounding circumstances, because the issue is whether it's a lewd exhibition of sexuality that's depicted?
Yes.
And so all these other circumstances were irrelevant, should not have really come into evidence?
Yes, and I think that the France case is more closely analogous with this case than the Freeman case is, because Freeman has all of that additional evidence, and because Freeman was a production case where all that additional evidence is very much a central issue in the case. His lascivious motivation for making the pictures is a central issue in that case, in a production case. This not being a production case, it is not nearly the same kind of an issue. And I think what the jury has to decide is looking at the picture, looking at the photograph, whatever it is in a particular case, but in this case it's a picture. Is that picture a lewd exhibition of nudity, or is it merely nudity? And I think when you look at the picture, there is nothing about the picture that makes it lewd. It's just that it's nude and that it's a 17-year-old, and that we know that's not enough. If there was a sexual implement in the picture, if there was different poses in the pictures, if there was some manipulation of her body parts, or anything like that, that would suggest that the purpose of the picture was for a sexual interest in her, then I think the situation would be totally different. This is a coach taking a picture of his...
Let me interrupt you just for a moment. You're arguing that, from your objective standpoint, that it's just simple nudity. However, the whole premise of your argument is that clearly the pictures are not provocative, and that no reasonable fact finder, that being the jury, could have concluded that. But you fail to address, you say she's just on the bed. You fail to address the fact that I think it's picture number two. I believe it's number two, where her legs are spread, and they're spread significantly. And if you look at the focus of the picture, it is focused, although you get the full body picture, it's focused more toward, or at least centered on, the genital area.
Well, I think that...
Can you address that, please?
I think that the picture shows her entire body. I don't believe that there are any close-ups as there are in, I think it was...
No, there's not, no, I don't,
case.
No, there's not a close-up, but it's clearly the focus. That's the center of the picture, and it's backed off from the bottom of the bed to focus on the genital area, it appears, and could not... That those fact finders, that being the jury, concluded that was provocative in and of itself.
my argument is that no, and the reason is because I think you have to have more than that in order for it to rise to the level of provoking a sexual interest. I mean, the picture is literally the girl lying on a bed with her arms out, and what I'm arguing is possibly how she just came to rest on the bed, because there is no evidence that he said, okay, spread your arms out, spread your legs out so that I can see you better with my camera. That is not what the evidence was in this case. The evidence was that she was going through a grueling and exhausting a period before her Taekwondo tournament, and she came to rest on the bed as a result of that. And what I'm saying is that if you look at the picture is just her lying on the bed. There's no zooming in on any particular part of her body. Her whole body is in all three of the pictures. And she's not even in any different pose. She's not lying on her side. She's not looking into the camera. She's not doing anything that would ordinarily suggest sexual intercourse was either about to happen or had just happened or that anybody wanted it to happen. And that's what I think you need to have in order for it to be a lewd exhibition of nudity or to contain sexual excitement or sexual conduct.
Okay, counsel, your time has expired. In addition
to
your rebuttal time, we'll see what we can do for you.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Susan Baumgartner for the office, or for the Commonwealth. I have to start out by disputing this idea that she had somehow fallen exhausted onto a bed and there were just a few photographs snapped. The photographs themselves show a progression. In photograph one, her legs are basically together. In photograph two, they're spread further. And in photograph three, they're spread so far that her feet are hanging off the bed. This is not just happenstance that she fell by exhaustion. In addition, the physical relationship between her and her coach, who started coaching her when she was 6 or 8, started when she said, in the appendix at page 9, at 16 and 17. They started having sex when she was 17. But the intimate nature of their relationship started at 16 before these photographs were taken. Now, as I said in my brief, and I don't think I need to belabor the point, the photographs themselves are a lewd exhibition. The jury was able to look at these photographs and determine whether they found it to be a lewd exhibition.
In determining whether the photographs are a lewd exhibition of sexuality, was it appropriate to take into account other circumstances other than the photograph?
Absolutely. I don't think it was necessary, but I do think it was appropriate. There's been a lot of discussion by the appellant of Freeman. And Freeman specifically says that the photographer's prurient interest was relevant to general prurient interest. If the photographer found these to be lewd, that is relevant to whether the photographs themselves are lewd or not.
Could you distinguish that with the France case?
Well, the France case has photos that of essentially the posers are just standing up and down, and the photographs themselves were not an issue. So in the France case, the jury wasn't able to look at the photographs and determine for themselves whether they thought they were lewd or not. Whereas in the Freeman case, they had the photographs directly in front of them. And therefore, they were able to look not just at whether the photographer's prurient interests were invoked, but whether they thought that was reasonable based on their own view of the photographs.
So, but ultimately, doesn't the France case seem to imply that ultimately the intent of the photographers is irrelevant? I mean, isn't that what we get from that?
I think we do, and I think it's in contradiction to the Freeman case. They're both published cases, and I do think that the focus on different panels came to different decisions, but ultimately the Freeman jury had the photographs, and the France jury didn't. And one of the issues of this case, because many of these cases involve the solicitation, the creation of the pornography, and in this case, it happened in Florida, so obviously it wasn't within the jurisdiction. But since an element, those photos are relevant because an element of the solicitation cases are the intent to create sexually explicit material. And so therefore, in those cases, it matters, because if ultimately the photos created aren't sexually explicit material, it would go to the intent. How essentially would you be able to prove that intent if the photos that came out didn't include sexually explicit material? So therefore, even the solicitation photos are relevant to our analysis in this case. And in this case, in addition to the photos, we have all the other things that demonstrate intent. He ordered her to get naked. He threatened her when she didn't want to pose for photographs. They had an ongoing sexual relationship from this person who had been her teacher since she was a child.
Even during the taking of the photographs, there is at least some evidence to suggest that he groped her.
Yes, and it's not, oh, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. She testified he groped her breast after this happened. And the jury, if this is inconsistent, the jury was fully within their province to determine which part of that is consistency they value. And therefore, if there are no further questions, based on both the photographs themselves and the circumstances surrounding it, the jury had more than enough evidence to support their decision.
Thank you. Mr. Daniel, we'll give you only 1 minute since we gave you 17 minutes on your main argument.
I understand, Your Honor. I'm very brief. I just wanted to reiterate that I think France is more close in terms of the facts of this case than Freeman. And in that case, the court clearly said that it was irrelevant that the photographer was sexually excited by taking pictures of these boys posing. And in that case, they were actually posing. They were just posing in relatively benign poses, which is, again, I think analogous to this case, because they're not sexual poses that this girl has put her body into. And the France court found the evidence was totally insufficient, even though the photographer was sexually excited by the photographs, and said that they didn't need the photos in evidence in order to make that decision. Freeman, again, totally different because of all of the other evidence and the fact that it's a production case where the lascivious motivation is at issue anyway, and that evidence is coming in for that purpose anyway. That's all I have. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you. That is submitted. This concludes the